You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Do you love a good scare, or would you never willingly watch a horror movie or pick up a Stephen King novel? Does the creepy music just creep you out listening to it? Well, Matthias Claessen studies horror, and he says there's a strong connection between our love of horror stories and the way we evolved as humans. He's an associate professor of literature and media in the Department of English at Aarhus University in Denmark, and is the author of the book Why Horror Seduces. Matthias, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, what happens in our bodies when we're frightened by something on a screen or in a book?
Right. Well, it's a series of changes that take place in the body with which we're all of us, I think, familiar. So the sensation of butterflies in the stomach, for example, the sensation of sweaty palms, goosebumps, elevated pulse, and sharp focusing of cognition or thinking. Those are all changes that take place that really are designed by evolution to prepare us for confrontation.
Right. The same things happen when we witness this this fictional horror in a movie or a book, or if something scary happened in real life, which, when you think about it, is pretty weird that our minds would react that way, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is kind of weird. But the thing is that certain mechanisms in the brain don't really distinguish between fiction and reality. So if you show somebody who is an arachnophobe, show them a picture of a spider the size of a fist, and they will respond same as if they are confronted with a real spider. But really, it has to do with the way the imagination evolved, so that when we imagine things, when we hold images in our mind, we respond with appropriate emotion to those images. And that ties in with the function of the imagination, which is to allow us to run through various scenarios and try them out in a kind of offline mode.
So this fictional horror is kind of, a practice scenario, if I'm hearing you right, for the real thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one hypothesis, and there is some evidence to suggest that that might in fact be the case, that many of us, actually it looks like it might be most of us, find pleasure in those kinds of threat scenarios that horror provide us with, because they allow us to play with fear and get some kind of learning experience with scenarios of danger.
I can get why that's useful, but why would it be pleasurable? Why would I want to seek out that pulse pounding? And I do sometimes, but why? Why is that enjoyable to me?
Right, that's something researchers call the paradox of horror, which is kind of an analog to the paradox of tragedy. Why do we seek out fiction, entertainment? That seems to be designed to evoke negative emotions in people. That's weird because in real life, most people do whatever they can to avoid feelings of fear and anxiety and disgust and so on. But I think there are two crucial elements here when people seek out horror. One is the element of control, that we're choosing to do it, and we can shut off the film or, kick away the Stephen King novel. And also there is the element of distance, psychological distance, that we know that it's just fiction. We know it's not real. And those two elements are what make horror different from, say, nightmares, because you can't control a nightmare and you don't realize it. Just your mind serving up a really nasty simulation. So those elements contribute to making it pleasurable.
It's Halloween week and we're talking about horror and why we like horror movies, scary books, and the like. Matthias Claessen is with us from the from Aarhus University in Denmark. He's the author of the book Why Horror Seduces. Now, there are some scary things that seem like they're pretty culturally specific or, prominent in a certain time or place, but there are some categories that a lot of things we find scary fit into, and I want to talk about some of those. One is being hunted or preyed upon, and you could see an evolutionary connection to there. Could you talk about that as a common theme?
Right. Yeah, it's true that it looks like there are variations in the things people fear, variations across history and variations across cultures. But there is also this underlying stable structure, or the categories that you mentioned, one of which is predation. So as you say, it makes good sense that we evolved to fear agents, creatures that want to eat us. And in fact, if you look back over evolutionary history, it looks like many of our ancestors, or more precisely, those of our ancestors who didn't, you know, become ancestors, their peers, they were eaten by predators. And in fact, we see predators reflected in horror films, same as many of the other categories that into which common fears fit.
And I think I read that you're quoted somewhere saying, if you think about it, just that kids' game of hide and seek is kind of is reenacting that fear of something hunting for you in a fun, safe way.
Yeah, exactly. Hide and seek, chase play. Many kids' games are, in fact, kind of early live action horror simulations, if you will. Kids really like that kind of playful flirting with danger. Like, you know, with you have kids or you have access to kids, when you're chasing them around the apartment or the house and you're growling like a monster and they're hiding in a closet. It's a very, it's a kind of early horror staging.
And another common fear, violence from fellow humans. And one of the scariest movies from my youth, Halloween, has a new sequel out just over the last week or two. Violence from fellow humans, another common theme in horror books and movies. That one kind of makes sense too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And that's really the deep, evolved fear that drives the whole cycle of slasher films that saturated North American media in the 1980s. As far as I recall, more than 700 slasher films were produced and released in that one decade alone, of course, sparked by Carpenter's 1978 classic that you mentioned before.
And another theme, contagion and contamination. And you've talked about this. The zombie thing really brings up both of those categories. Fellow humans, or I guess former fellow humans, and they're going to kill you and contaminate you.
Yeah, they are. I mean, disgusting stuff plays such a huge role in horror. Many, but not all, horror monsters are not only dangerous, antagonistic, hostile, they're also disgusting. I think zombies are a really good example because they're, you know, dripping with decay and they're rotting and they are in fact infectious. I mean, that characteristic of zombies goes back to George Romero's classic black and white zombie film Night of the Living Dead from 68. But that's a monster that combines the fear of contagion with the fear of predation.
I've always been maybe, I guess I'd say, a casual horror movie fan, not a hardcore fan. Same with horror novels. I'll read them sometimes, not often. Is there kind of a numbing effect where, okay, you start off, and if you keep watching these or reading these, you need bigger and scarier thrills to keep you going down the road?
Yeah, I have some new data that suggests that there is such an effect that people need with exposure, with experience with horror films, they grow to kind of need slightly stronger stimulation to get the desired effect. It's not a huge, I mean, it's not that people really get jaded or numb, and the effective jump scare will always make people jump in their seats. but there is that kind of requiring more to get the same pleasurable sensation of thrill.
That jump scare reminds me of a Facebook comment at the Ideas Network Facebook page from Joanna. Joanna wrote, as a kid, it was always the jump scares that got to me. It was fun to have your heart set racing while still knowing that nothing was going to actually happen to you. But she goes on, now the things that creep me out are usually when something isn't quite right. It could almost be normal, but then there's that twist that gives you goosebumps or an uneasy feeling. And that's you know, I think there are a lot of moments in David Lynch movies where it may not be something explicitly scary, but it's just something that's not quite right. It's wrong and out of place and uncanny. So talk about that different approach to horror, Matthias.
Yeah, that's an excellent example. And I think many people, as they grow older and more maybe aesthetically or artistically sophisticated, they come to crave exactly those kinds of the artful scare, which is more about the kind of subtle establishment of an atmosphere that is off. Horror films that play with the feeling of creepiness, which has been categorized or characterized by psychologists as a response to situations that are characterized by ambiguity of threat. So one thing is a jump scare, and that's really easy to do. It's not a very artful a scare tactic. You just, you know, surprise people with a with a sudden loud sound, maybe some kind of visual stimulus as well. Anybody can do it. I mean, you can hide behind a door and wait for somebody to pass by and jump out and yell boo, and you get the jump scare, the startle reflex. But establishing an atmosphere that draws you in and gives you a strong creeping sensation that something is not right, I mean, that requires real artistic skill. So I think that's a really interesting distinction that she's making.
We're talking with Matthias Claessen about how being scared by films, movies, and video games, too, for that matter, is a part of how we've evolved culturally and biologically. He's the author of the book Why Horror Seduces. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy horror films and or scary books? Has what you found scary changed at different points in your life? Talked about a couple different types of horror, the contagion or predators. What's the scariest element in a story for you? Or do you avoid horror movies, scary books, as much as you possibly can? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. No jump scares when you call in. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about how reading scary fiction or watching horror films works on us biologically and how we evolved to actually enjoy it. Call 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy being scared? Do you prefer movies, books, video games, even in-person experiences like those haunted houses that are out there now? Or if you hate being scared, do you feel like you're missing out on something? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, what's with the devil and the occult stuff? I honestly still sleep with the light on if I'm alone after I saw The Exorcist when I was 14, 15 years of age. And it still totally terrifies me. Why is that different than the other stuff?
Well, does the other stuff not scare you, Charlie?
I you know, the zombie movies doesn't bother me. The slasher stuff doesn't bother me. Halloween didn't bother me. But, you know, you get the occult in there, you get the devil in there, and I can't sleep, and I have the light on. I'm that terrified.
Charlie, thank you so much for sharing that. Matthias Claessen, our guest, author of Why Horror Seduces. What do you think? Is Charlie common that he specializes in one kind of horror bugging him?
Yeah. I'm kind of sorry to hear about Charlie's experience, but also kind of happy to hear about it. I'm like that. You know, I often sleep with the lights on when I've seen a really scary film. But I have a study that suggests that people who believe in the supernatural are more strongly affected by horror films that evoke, you know, supernatural forces of evil. And I think in The Exorcist specifically, which is, of course, famous for terrifying generations of people, that one film shows us that we talked about before how horror can play on these more kind of subtle feelings of the universe that is wrong. And I think that's what that film does. It lets the young, cute, innocent Regan McNeil be possessed by this ancient force of evil, the demon Pazuzu. And that is just so wrong on so many levels, morally and so on, that I think it gets people on a deeper level or more levels than maybe just, you know, the average zombie film.
Charlie, thanks for calling. Maybe steer clear of The Exorcist before bedtime. Back to our callers now. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hello.
Hi. I think part of it is we feel like we've survived, and even we won. Hey, I survived, and I won. This fiend, this zombie or whatever didn't win. I did.
Interesting, Dennis. So do we get this vicarious feeling of victory, Matthias? It's not just the vicarious being scared, but in a lot of horror movies anyway, somebody comes through okay in the end and we, I don't know, identify with them, he's saying? What do you think?
I think that's part of it. I think also it points to this, the social dimension of many kinds of horror media. So people watch horror films in groups and people overwhelmingly visit haunted attractions, haunted houses in groups. And it becomes kind of a challenge, a way to show the other you have what it takes to go through those things without fainting or, you know, leaving the room or the house. And then there is that relief of having made it all the way to the end, of having had the moxie that was required. I think that sense of overcoming, which in fact can also function on the social level, that if you watch a horror film as a group or go through a haunted house as a group, you feel like you're more strongly bonded afterwards, which is an interesting effect.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Rachel with us in West Allis. Rachel, thanks for calling. What did you want to bring up?
Hi, I'm curious as to whether there has been any research done on how introverts and extroverts respond differently to horror stimuli. I've read that introverts are highly sensitive to external stimuli and extroverts are less sensitive, and I definitely consider myself an introvert, and I have no desire to be scared because, frankly, I find living a normal human life on this planet to be terrifying enough. I don't need to be scared.
Aw, Rachel, thank you so much for bringing that up. Matthias, do we know anything about introverts or extroverts and how they relate to scary books and movies?
Not those two categories of folks specifically, but I do have a study coming out that I did with a couple of colleagues, including a personality psychologist, in which we looked at personality dimensions and their correlations with horror preference. So is it a specific kind of person who likes horror? And it looks like it's actually people who are fairly gregarious, people who like to socially interact with others, and also people who like intellectual stimulation who are most likely to be horror fans. We need more research, I'd say, but it sounds possible.
Rachel, thanks for that call. We are talking about horror, why we love it, how it works on us biologically, and how we evolved maybe to like it. Matthias Klassen is with us from Aarhus University in Denmark. He's the author of Why Horror Seduces. We'll go next to Nick in Wisconsin Rapids. Nick, hi.
Hey. I don't know if this is true for horror, but I'm terrified of like AI, like Terminator style, like Skynet, and taking over, like artificial intelligence taking over like itself and like reproducing itself.
Nick, thanks for the call. There is, Matrix has some of that, and I don't know if that's a horror movie, more of an action movie. The Terminator, there's definitely elements of horror there. That fear of the robot, the computer taking things over, is that a subgenre in itself, Matthias?
I think probably it is, but it's not a huge one. I think because for most people, that fear is kind of more abstract than the kinds of fears we talked about before, the predators and the contagious zombies and even the evil demons. Maybe we should be more worried about AIs than Michael Myers in a white mask stalking us. But certainly are science fiction / horror films that play on this particular fear.
Well, Matthias, that's kind of the point of horror in some ways. It isn't necessarily a rational fear. It plays on our irrational side in some ways. Like if we sat through and calculated the odds of a Michael Myers type interacting with us, it'd be really, really low. But that's not what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really not about statistical possibility. It's about serving as scenarios that are well matched to target the evolved fear system.
And do we know, you mentioned the properties of people who do like horror movies. What do we know about the people who don't?
We know that they're in the minority, which might be surprising. More than half the population of the U.S. Claim to tend to enjoy horror media. It's only about somewhere between a quarter and a third who don't like horror. But even those folks tend to like other kinds of media products that might give them a safe thrill. Maybe it's crime that they're drawn to. Maybe it's other forms of melodrama. The older people get, the lower the appetite for horror. Men tend to have a slightly higher appetite for horror than women. And then there are the personality dimensions that I talked about before. So people who tend to react very strongly to negative stimuli. What psychologists call neurotic people, not in a Freudian sense, but just in the sense that you react strongly. They tend not to really be big horror fans.
Let's go to another caller now. Lisa is with us in Green Bay. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm 63 years old, and I have yet to find a horror movie that scared me. And I'm looking forward to finding one someday. I hope it happens sooner rather than later.
So wait, you watch horror movies, you like them, it sounds like, but they don't. None of them actually scare you, not a single one?
No, it's really frustrating, especially with people that I go to the movies with. They get very upset with me because I'm not scared, and they're jumping out of their seats and screaming.
Huh. Maybe some amygdala thing going on there. Lisa, thank you so much for sharing that. Matthias, we just have a few moments left. Leave us with a couple good horror movies or books that maybe would scare Lisa.
Yeah, I'd say challenge accepted. I suggest some of the, you know, the Japanese horror films. They're really profoundly terrifying. And maybe that new Netflix series, Haunting of Hill House. I haven't seen it myself, but it's supposed to be really unsettling.
I'm hearing good things about that. And the Japanese horror movies, like The Ring and that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, Matthias, thank you so much for taking this time with us today. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Matthias Claassen is a horror researcher and an associate professor of literature and media in the Department of English at Aarhus University in Denmark. He's the author of the book Why Horror Seduces. We've been talking about the appeal of horror books and movies, why we like it, why it affects us at a biological level. Evolution might be part of the story, it turns out. Well, Halloween, a couple days away, still time for you to share your favorite horror book or movie or TV show or video game or haunted house. You could do that. You could tweet us at Central Time WPR or comment over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. What fictional thing has really scared you?